Hey y'all, it's Ash. I'm filling in for Kiki this week and helping out on recapping season 6, episode 3 of OWN's Ready to Love. This episode is called Sparks Will Fly or Fizzle. Hi y'all, welcome back. So first things first, I know y'all probably didn't expect to hear my voice on this solo session, but our dear host Kiki has asked me to fill in this week while she spends some quality time with her family. And yeah, I was definitely up to the challenge. And she also asked that we bring another special guest. So for those who have been used to this foolishness, we are joined by Jamar, aka Lamp, aka my government-issued roommate. Hey, Lamp.
Yeah.
Anywho's, so Jamar and I don't watch Ready to Love until we listen to Kiki's recaps. I know that sounds weird, but yeah, so before we get started, Jamar, what have been like your impressions of some of the cast members so far?
You know, I'm just gonna go ahead and say it. These fools is horny.
Oh yeah.
Like they literally, like, from what I've seen from the first two episodes, it's nothing but sexual innuendos.
There's some freak leaks.
Like, talking about, like, you know, I want to be the one to make you sweat and all this type of stuff. Like, it's a bunch of, like, sexual energy that's there. So, I don't really know how well this will play out. But they seem like a pretty cool cast for the most part.
Okay, you have any standouts?
From what I've seen going up to this episode, I would say Wiley is one of my favorites, but I feel as though he's not going to get a fair shake because he's like the baby.
Yeah.
Clifton, because Clifton reminds me of like football teammates, because, you know, just big goofy type dude, which is normally the type of guys that I hang out with anyway, that are my friends. And then I know on the lady side, I like Joy, because Joy has just like a lot of, she just has a lot of energy. And then after Joy, I would say Ace, because Ace just seems like that person you just want to be around, because there's never anything negative that'll happen around her.
Yeah.
Like, she just gives that off.
Yeah. I feel like you and I have kind of like the same top picks. Like, I like Joy because I just feel like she has this refreshing air about her. And then I love Ace because she has this calming spirit, but there's also something genuine about her. We're going to have to work on, no, we don't have to work on, but I just noticed that what she wears to like the outings versus what she has been wearing to record her diary sessions, it's like it's giving missionary / first Sunday attire, but when she goes out, it's giving, you know, like Jezebel, and not Jezebel like in a bad way, but she's showing skin. She's got a wonderful body. So I'm just like, Ace, what's happening here? But I also enjoy Clifton. I think he's not just a teddy bear, but I just really think he has a pretty cool energy about him. But something in this episode happens where I have to kind of give him a side eye, but we'll get there. And I really do like Wiley, but I agree with what Lamp is saying. I feel like Wiley's not going to get the fair lay of the land because of his age. And technically, the one person who I felt like Wiley would have had a really good connection with would have been Tiffany, even though she gave me Camille vibes from last season. And we don't need to repeat that. So yeah, those are our standout picks. So Lamp, you ready to recap this episode?
Sure, let's jump into it.
All right. Okay, so with this episode, we open up with the first ladies' lounge meetup. And I grew up in the Lowcountry, just like Kiki. And so my childhood, I remember either listening to Tessa and Baby J on Z93 Jams or what is it? The 95SX. I used to listen to Tanya and those two other white people. But then also, I used to listen to Star 997. And around the time where I was growing up, that was when the Steve Harvey Show became syndicated on Star 997. So with nephew Tommy, anytime he says ladies, I always remember him when he used to do his little saying, he'd be like, ladies, 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 ladies. So I just feel like nephew Tommy is one of them smooth mofos. Like, don't know how to explain it, but I just get that smooth energy. Y'all, can we talk about Precious's hair? Like, there's something about this wig. Like, it's an aggressive side part, but it's pinned back, and I feel like Precious's hair or facial features, she could really pull off a middle part. Like, I really want her. I'm hoping that when we get to the reunion, we can get a different wig position or something. Anywho's, Tommy walks in, he says, "We're gonna speak our minds and spill our tea." And all the women are like, okay. So he introduces Carmen. And Jamar, what was your first impression of Carmen?
So the issue I have with Carmen her first episode was these blue goddamn contacts. Like, they were just too blue. Like, it was just way too much blue it was giving. So what I will say is I do appreciate that starting off in this episode, she is not wearing any contacts at all. She's wearing her natural eyes. So it's not weird or anything. But Carmen, to me, I like her energy. But at the same time, I don't like her energy. Because I like people who are lively, that just don't sit around. But at the same time, she gives instances of doing too much. Because I look back at the, like, when they were at the little driving range in episode 2, and she just seemed like she was talking too much, like talking about, oh, I wanted Clifton to hold my hair because I wanted him to see that this is real hair. And I'm like, I'm gonna be honest with you, sweetheart, most guys really don't give a damn about that. So it's like she was doing a little too much, but so far, at least into this episode, she seemed like she was a little bit more calm.
Okay, anyways. So Ace says that she had a blind date with Cornelius, and as Kiki said, Cornelius is like a taboo name on this podcast, so we're gonna call him Cornbread. She has her date with Cornbread, and she says she was happy to meet him. And then she just stops, and Tommy was like, that's it? And she's like, yeah. And, you know, Tommy says, well, you know what, that's fine. Sparks are fine, but you need that heat. So he gives the ladies an assignment to plan dates that reflect themselves. And the goal of this is to see if the men can fit into their life and their dynamics. And he also mentions that two new singles are getting thrown into the mix. And he has Dakia go on a blind date. And he tells her that she'll be going on a blind date with a guy named Eric. So Dakia shows up to the date in the next scene, and she says she's nervous, but she trusts Tommy. And Eric walks up. Jamar says his first impression of Eric was like, oh, he's smooth. Like, he really liked his outfit. And we find out that Eric is 44 and he is a private chef. He says his career has affected his love life, and because of that, he has made the choice to scale back because he realizes he's really at a place where he wants a love like his parents. And they've been married for 50 years. He said he just really admires their, what was it? I think he's just like, you know, he said they have an intimacy, like they still date each other. He said, you know, they still joke around. They still kind of have like a PDA thing going on. And he just wants that for himself. What are your vibes of Eric?
I mean, my vibes are, like, you've basically already said what my vibes are. Like, he rolled up, he had on the nice blue blazer, had on some nice blue loafers. You know, he's a chef, and so, you know, he talked about, you know, doing the chef thing.
Y'all, hold on. Y'all, I want y'all, if you're playing a drinking game, this episode, drink every time Eric mentions that he's a chef. Like, he just slides it in there. I'm not shading him. I'm just saying there was an aggressive amount of like, oh, well, you know I'm a chef. Anywho's. So he and Dakia speak and get to know each other. He tells her that he is a preacher's kid, but also a military brat. He lived in Germany for most of his teenage life and ended up married at 18. Clifton is... And so, yeah, so he tells Dakia that he got married young at 18, but obviously that didn't work out, and that's why he's there with Dakia. We flip to another blind date, and Clifton is at a blind date for the newly added woman. Clifton immediately says he's disappointed they had a vegan spot, because as y'all know and can see, Clifton is a thickums, and he's like, what am I supposed to do at a vegan spot? But... our new guest, or I guess our new castmate, her name is AP. She is 42. She is a holistic life coach for women. And she, you know, she walks up and immediately I'm like, AP's gorgeous, but I feel like we need to refresh this outfit. These shoes. But like I said, she's gorgeous. We find out that she basically, you know, has been trying online dating, but that hasn't really worked. And she was married for 10 years. And unfortunately, 5 years ago, her husband passed away. And that made me sad, because it's just like, you know, maybe I'm just weird, but like, as of right now, I can't speak for how it'll be in the future, but as of right now, being young or like 30 and married, I would pray that I wouldn't find myself being a widow 10 years into my marriage. And I hope Jamar doesn't feel the same way.
What do you mean?
You wouldn't want to be a widower early in your marriage, would you?
Well, no, because if I'm a widower early in my marriage, that means that I didn't really potentially enjoy my marriage as much as I wanted to. I want the longevity. I want the tenure.
So, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, it broke my heart that, like, she didn't get to experience that tenure. And it seemed like she really would enjoy it. Like, I could just tell by the pictures that she loved her late husband. And so she walks up on Clifton and she says, oh my God, he's glowing. She's like, I can tell he's on some berries and juices. And I think that's because Clifton has that full beard, but also that full head of hair. He's got like a nice complexion. And so they begin talking, and you know, he finds out that she has a 9-year-old and a 7-year-old. And that is kind of why she hasn't been so all over the place. And, you know, she's preferred to be more settled. And Clifton reveals that he has a 17-year-old and a 3-year-old, and he has been married twice. Pump the brakes. Let's pump the brakes. Let's pump, 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 pump the brakes. Clifton being married twice, I'm not going to bat an eyelash to that. Him having a 17-year-old and a 3-year-old, I'm not going to bat an eyelash to that either. It's the 3-year-old. I am a true believer that I would not date a man with a child under the age of 10, because that is too dangerous to, I'm still messing with my baby mama vibes, but that's just me.
Ma'am, what are you talking about dating someone with kids under the age of 10? You married. So you don't got to worry about that no more.
Anywho's, so Clifton and AP have the conversation where they talk about how their time being single was really spent with them doing the work to make sure that they were the best people for themselves, but also for whoever they met next. And I admire that. But like I said, I still got my eye on Clifton. I don't know why, but I just got my eye on Clifton. We go back to Dakia and Eric's date, and we find out that both of them have a career background in common. Before Eric was a private chef, he was a systems engineer, which is what Dakia does, but she actually works for NASA, and she also has a dance studio.
Baby girl got money.
Yeah, she got money. Like, she don't want no scrubbers. That guy can't get another from her. But, they were talking, and she asked how he ended up in D.C. or how long he'd been in D.C., and Eric explains that originally he was in Harlem for a while, because he was a caretaker for his uncle whose cancer is in remission. And in this moment, Dakia shares that she is a 9-year survivor of cervical cancer, and he immediately says that makes her, he feels this inner strength in her. But because he has served as a caretaker, he's like, he knows how hard the struggle and battle with cancer is, and he admires her. We go back to the date with AP. There's a lot, a whole lot of flipping and flopping. I can't lie, I got a little dizzy. AP says that Clifton reminds her of her brother, and the date becomes instantly awkward. And they both kind of say in their confessionals that they don't really see it being a love connection. And Clifton says that he can be friends with AP and they can hang out at the cookout. Y'all just make sure that AP got some vegan / veggie burgers. We go back
now, to... Now, wait. Did you tell them why they said that they would probably be better off both as friends?
What?
So you didn't mention that AP literally told this man...
I said that!
That's what I was saying. I was just making sure...
You weren't listening?
No, I was listening.
No, you weren't.
I was just fully making sure that you included that. Because that is important.
Y'all...
I would have preferred her to keep that to herself.
Y'all... So, the three of y'all who listen to these, well, actually, Kiki has like 50 people who listen to her recaps. So, if like 5 of y'all who listen to the recaps, tweet me at AuntieAsh_ on Twitter or IG chat me and like confirm that y'all heard me say, AP tells this man that he looks like her brother, and so that makes the date awkward. So that way I can confirm that my husband don't... Y'all heard it here first.
Again,
husbands don't listen.
Again,
anywho,
I wanted it reiterated because to a guy, like, I feel as though she didn't need to say that. She should have kept it to herself.
I agree.
Because at that point, it threw everything completely off.
Yeah, because then the food was spicy, and he was like, ooh, well, I like spice. But, you know, it couldn't be salvaged. Mm-hmm. We go back to Dakia, and she mentions that she kind of feels indifferent about kids. She says she's okay if she has one or has them, but if she doesn't, she will not feel that life is incomplete. Eric tells us that he has 2 daughters. They are 21 and 23. And I'm like, see, I like that. Picasso, cheering out the house. They're grown. They got their own lives. That's cool. Eric says he likes Dakia and he wants to go on a second date. She agrees and she tells him, you don't really need to meet no one else. And they both acknowledge that they have had like an instant connection. Dakia especially points out that this is the fastest she's connected with anyone thus far. So in our next scene, Dakia plans a group date to introduce Eric to the group. And this date includes Ace, Cornbread, and Joy. And the date is called a paint and switch, or the theme of the date is a paint and switch, where basically Dakia says that they're all going to have their own canvases. But as they go throughout the night, each person is going to go and add a little bit more to the previous person's painting, which is supposed to be a symbol of how this experience will add to everyone and they'll get to know each other. Blah, blah, blah. It was cute. I thought that was a cute idea, but also I'm still like a little traumatized by sipping paints right now because y'all out here sipping and sucking. And yeah, anywho's. Cornbread is doing a painting of his dead cat named Pimp. And Joy immediately is like, I can't take no man serious. A, because I can't take a man serious who has a cat. But also, like, he's talking about, like, you know, this cat, which they show a picture of Cornbread and the cat in high key. The cat looks like Cornbread. Like, it sounds weird to say, but that is an example of a pet that looks like their owner. And Cornbread is like, you know, Egyptians like worshipped cats. So he was like, I'm not cool with people disrespecting cats. And I'm just like, I'm getting Hotep vibes from Cornbread. Cause like last episode he had the Africa chain, which, you know, that wasn't it. But there are some things that will happen that I've noticed as commentary, and I'm like, it's very much giving me Hotepery. So Ace and Eric are talking, and Ace tells Eric that the process has really pulled her out of her comfort zone, but it's been in a good way. Eric and Joy then begin to talk, and of course, all of a sudden, so she asks him how he's doing, and he's like, I'm blessed and highly flavored. And then he goes, I'm a chef, by the way, that's why I say that. And I was just like, okay, whatever. Joy describes Eric as a breath of fresh air, and she enjoys, Lord, I wrote down fresh hair, because she says she's enjoying, you know, getting to know him. Dakia takes Cornbread off to the side to chat, because she says, you know, this is technically her first time interacting with him. And she says that, you know, they're talking, and he says that he has an old soul. And Cornbread acknowledges that Dakia seems like she's the ultimate package and wants to know why she's single. So, like, I've always heard men ask these questions, and I feel like Cornbread did it in a genuine way, where he was like, you know, it seems like you have XYZ, so, you know, why are you single? And I got the vibe that he was like, you know, what has led to it being this way? And Dakia tells him, well, you know, it just hasn't worked out with some people. She was engaged a few years ago, but she said, you know, she kind of had to take a step back, and that she enjoys the life that she lives, but eventually she does want to be married, and that is part of the reason why she hasn't had any children yet. And then Cornbread says something that has me like, Cornbread, you keep adding, you keep doing these things and saying these things. Cornbread says that he doesn't really value the institution of marriage, so he's not really sure where that'll leave him. Now, I want y'all to note, when Cornbread was on that group date with Sabrina and Tiffany in episode 2, and Tiffany was like, I want a husband, he acted so extra, not extra, but he was just like very standoffish. And I'm just like, what is the reason for being so standoffish when these women are being upfront about what they want? Like, is it just me, Lamp?
No, it's not you. Okay. I felt that what he said was weird during that date, because to me, the show is called Ready to Love. And the goal of Ready to Love is to find the one and potentially get married, which is something that it seems as though nobody, like none of the couples on this show have ever really reached to that point from what I've seen. So when Tiffany said it, I didn't have a problem with it. Yeah, she was aggressive and a little bit like more to the point than what some people may like, but that's the purpose of the show, to potentially find a husband. And him acting that way, it gave off, like him acting that way, and then what he said to Dakia, it gave off the, I want a woman that'll be in my house, that'll, like, you know, be my partner, but we don't need to get married and have a title. That's what it gives off.
Yeah.
Which is a very, again, a very Hotep type vibe, because it leaves that linger of, you know, we're together, but it's not ultra serious.
Yeah, like, it gives me the vibe that he want to leave a woman barefoot and pregnant, but then also be like, well, you know, you stay in my house. I don't know. Cornbread, I had high hopes for you, but I'm starting to get concerned. Anywho's, we go to the next scene, which is a date between Paul and Sabrina. And y'all, this felt like a business lunch. Like, if I cannot fully convey in words the awkwardness of this dynamic. Sabrina sits down, she's like, I wanted to have an opportunity to speak with you further. And I'm just like, are you reaching out about an open role at the company? Like, girl, what is this? And it's wild, because on one hand, Paul is like really excited about this date, and he's like, I'm really feeling Sabrina, and I hope this date can solidify our connection. And let's just go ahead and go off on our tangent. Jamar and I both agree, Paul is horrible. Him referring to himself as P.O. immediately P.O.'d me, because that don't piss me off, okay? Don't piss me off, Paul, because there is no reason why you are this old and carrying on like that. Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
True.
I'm about to say, Jamar looking at me like I'm crazy, but like...
I don't like Paul simply for one thing. And again, it came off during the second episode and it carried even into this episode.
Was it the thugged out comment?
Nah, it wasn't even that. Even though that was stupid.
And gross.
Very.
And awkward.
Very.
Yeah.
But it was when when they were on the date and it was him and Precious, they were talking and Tiffany came and sat down with them. And he asked her if she was to have her own spoken word show, what would the title of it be? And she gave him an odd look like, bro, what? And he was like, and in his little confessional thing, he was like, if you can't answer my questions, then where can we go from there? And in my head, I'm like, bro, very few people would ever answer that question because it's a stupid ass question. Who the hell asked someone what would they title a spoken word? And a lot of his questions, a lot of his mannerisms, which it's actually something that, they didn't say it to him. It was something that Joy had said in regards to Fernando in the very first episode. She was like, it was like an interview. And a lot of the questions that Paul asked, they're like interview questions. They're like, if a company is trying to bring you on, they want to hear what you're thinking. Like in regards to, oh, well, if you could be any color, what color would you be and why?
That's
how it comes off.
It very much gives me the vibe of, tell me about a time when you experienced...
Tell me about a time that you had to deal with
adversity or a conflict, or tell me what your strengths and weaknesses are. And it's like, bruh, anywho's, we're getting off task. So Sabrina, I feel like she kind of wants to dig a little bit deeper with Paul before she makes like her final decision to X him off. So she asks him about his childhood, and he basically says that, you know, he was really mischievous, but he also had a very entrepreneurial spirit. He started an errands business when he was like 10, and he thinks that giving this answer is him being vulnerable. But Sabrina is like, nah, this just confirms that he's literally been intense all of his life. And Paul he talks about how he's always in go mode. And I have a quick observation. I feel like that's a trauma response. So I actually don't care. I don't care. I'm just observing that that's a trauma response. So perhaps that's something that he'll want to work out in therapy if he goes, because as a person who is always in go mode, me always being in go mode is a trauma response. But, you know, I digress. So Sabrina says that Paul is a pusher, and she feels like he won't provide the calming energy she needs because she's a pusher herself. And if anything, I feel like Paul and Sabrina kind of have the same energy, where even though Sabrina's not as intense, they both seem to be very ambitious. And Sabrina seems like she is in search of a calming energy. And Paul asks if the date makes Sabrina want to pursue something. And she says no. She gets a mentor vibe from him, which once again, that is where that business / work career mentality comes in. And Paul's like, oh, I'm hurt because I really wanted to connect with Sabrina. And Paul, it wasn't going to happen. You didn't have a snowball's chance in hell. Okay, so our next scene, we have another group date. I don't know who planned this one, but it was a bowling date, and it was AP, Laverne, Demetrius, Paul, and Joy. AP is there first, so it's just her and the other three gentlemen. And, you know, she tells him, she's like, you know, Demetrius asks what size bowling shoes she needs. And she's like, I stomp with the big dogs, I wear a size 11. AP, me and you, girl, we here. I'm pretty sure you don't have like as wide a foot as me, but shout out to my big dog stepping women with these large foot sizes. And that also explains the shoes. Anywho's. So yeah, Paul's mom was a 300 bowl, or she is a 300 bowler, and she apparently taught him how to bowl. So in this date, he's coaching AP and Joy, and strangely enough, his coach. Really, Jamar?
What's up?
You making these weird grunting noises?
I'm biting my fingernail. I'm sorry.
Sit up. Anywho's. So, yeah. Strangely enough, I just feel like the coaching actually worked. And I was just like, okay. Joyce mentions that other people might see that Paul's unfiltered and, you know, very rough, I guess, energy are a lot. But she finds his humor endearing and she enjoys it. Laverne Shirley has a butt fetish. I don't know how to explain it, but I think like he's bowling and Joy's behind him trying to like coach him, and he was like, you know, you can give me some good luck, you can touch my butt. And I'm just like, okay, Laverne Shirley, that's weird. And in a way, Laverne Shirley is like, he always goes from 1 to 10. I feel like Laverne Shirley is a Scorpio. Like, I get a very chaotic Scorpio man energy from him. And I feel like it's this energy where he'd be like, oh yeah, I want you to have my babes and all this stuff. But then he disappears before the baby shower. Like, I get that vibe from him. But anywho's, he tells Joy that they could have some cute babies together. He's like, I don't look 44. You don't look 41. And yeah, that was that date. We didn't really see a lot of Demetrius, which, put a pin in that. We're going to circle back. And so the next scene, Sabrina has planned a group date. It's with Wiley, Tori, AP, and Demetrius. Demetrius is here once again. And I'm just like, okay. She says she picked these men to go because she finds them the most attractive. And so their date is a bus tour, like a night bus tour of the monuments in DC. And I don't think this was the best idea. I feel like if anything, this would be like a good solo date, but a group date, the dynamic slash group, like the choice, it just did not translate well. And when they get on the bus, AP sits down, Wiley sits by her, Demetrius goes to the back of the bus, and then Sabrina and Tori are in the seat in front of him. So basically there's two pairs, and then Demetrius is in the back and he's just kind of like chilling. So AP says that she wishes she could get more FaceTime with Demetrius because she didn't get a lot of FaceTime with him at the bowling alley, or at least they didn't show it. And then now she's not getting much time with him. So Wiley sits by her. And she says that she wants to give Wiley a chance because she appreciates that he was engaging in conversation, but the age gap just doesn't work for her. And AP says that as a former professor, Wiley reminds her of her students. So she kept that for the confessional. AP, why couldn't you keep that Clifton comment for the confessional too?
Thank you.
I'm just saying. So Demetrius is hanging back and he's not really engaging. Sabrina says she wishes he would have participated more. But honestly, I just feel like Sabrina has to take the L on this because this was just a really bad group date plan. Point blank, period.
I'm going to go ahead and give y'all the facts on this.
Okay.
This is my take on Demetrius, because Demetrius fits the aesthetic of other men that we've seen in other Ready to Love seasons.
Oh, stop everything. When I first saw Demetrius, I told Jamar that Demetrius looks like Funky Dineva with a full beard. And now I can't unsee it.
He actually does, folks. He really does. It's hilarious.
Y'all want to talk about it? Here you go.
But, like, the truth of the matter, like, what I gather with Demetrius is, even from the very first episode, like, the women were drawn to him because he's the aesthetic. He's dark skin, bald head, and he has a beard. And I don't know what it is, but women love dark skin, beard, and bald heads. It's almost like a scientific fact at this point. At least when it comes to Ready to Love, it is a scientific fact that if you are bald headed, dark skin, with a beard, 9 times out of 10, a ton of the women are going to approach you. So when AP said what she said, because you didn't really see any interaction at the bowling group date, you automatically are left to assume she wants to talk to him because of the aesthetic. Sabrina, she wants him to join in the conversation because of the aesthetic.
No, so she says she actually, so she says that she has not really spoken to him since the initial mixer. So that's why she wanted him to join in. But she did mention that at the beginning of the date, the reason why she picked him was because she was the most attracted to him. So you have a point there.
Not to mention, Dakia, and like, she even said during the first women's like meeting there at the beginning of the episode, she said when they first started, she was most into.
No, she says that the second one.
Anyway, you shake it, all of the women that have said something about Demetrius, they've more so been talking about his look as opposed to his actual conversation. So to me, Demetrius has been doing what Demetrius seems to like, what his energy actually gives a lot off of, is he's real laid back unless you potentially become the aggressor or you're just one on one with him and he has no choice but to speak with you. Because even in the first episode, that was kind of him. But that's just my take on it.
Okay, okay. That's why you're here, to provide your take. Good job, boo. Good job. Okay, so we're back in our next scene, and I think it's the final date of the episode. Joy and Clifton have a solo date. Joy is super excited because she's like, I've been missing his hugs. She said she didn't even need to talk to him. She just needed to be held by him and have a hug. And I'm like, ooh, okay, intimacy, you know, touch, like, you know, okay, love language. So Joy feeds Clifton her food. I believe that, so they went to this restaurant called Swahili Village, where I think my sister went there when she was in DC. She said they had this really great fish. He eats it, but then he immediately has an allergic reaction because of the coconut sauce. And for a second, I legit was worried. I was like, Lord have mercy, Clifton about to go on this the big one. But they joke about it, and Clifton says that he's wanted this date for so long, unless his heart stops, he is going to push through. I don't know what it is, but like, and Jamar had like clowned Joy when she said this in the second episode, but I really do think there is something not refreshing. I like the fact that Clifton is very intentional about letting Joy know that he likes spending time with her, or that he wants to spend time with her. I think that's very endearing, but whatever. We find out that Joy was raised by a single father. Her mother is Trinidadian, so her father got custody of her. And she mentioned that while he wasn't always the most warm and nurturing, it was always just the two of them. And, you know, when she lost him, when he passed away, that was hard on her. Clifton also shares that he lost his father. He lost his dad when he was 23. And he and Joy kind of bond over their grieving process, and you know, they talk about how they didn't immediately know how to process their feelings and how it really took time. And Joy becomes, you know, emotional when talking about her dad, and then when she says that Clifton makes her feel safe and comforted, that I was like, oh, okay, so that's where she felt the okay to be vulnerable. And she says that she sees parts of her in him. She says she notices they have similar character traits, and I take that as she kind of sees Clifton as her mirror image. Of course, Clifton has to be nasty, and he's like, I see parts of me in you. And I'm like, Clifton, you nasty. You nasty.
She liked it, though.
Oh, yeah, she liked it. Now, be very fucking clear, she had liked that. But yeah, they nasty. And you know, they end their date and they talk about how they want to, you know, do it again. And so we go to the ladies lounge, and it's wine bar time. This is AP's first wine bar meeting with them. And so Tommy immediately jumps right in. He's talking about, oh, y'all look good. Mocha chocolate. We got light skin, caramel, chocolate. And Tommy's just like, y'all are a good looking bunch. And so he has the ladies get into their top picks. Ace says Laverne Shirley is her top connection. And I put a question mark by that in my notes because I haven't really seen Laverne and Ace interact, but she's like, yeah, we talk every day. And I'm just like, when did that happen? Like, did I miss that?
Well, I mean, what I've gathered from from Ready to Love is that they only want us to see certain interactions because those interactions fit with what's potentially going to happen at the end of this episode or something.
Yeah.
So like they give you a quick video thing of Laverne and Ace on a date, but it's a scene that has never been shown in any of these first few episodes. So it leads me to believe that there are a lot of dates, a lot of communications going on behind the scenes between people that we don't get to see. But I can see like how Laverne's energy and his kind of over the topness works for Ace because Ace gives you that real calm, laid back.
Yeah,
and so she likes that energy, and plus he's,
I told a lie. I remember an episode one where he was I don't know if he was telling Ace about it like while she was there, but he was talking about Ace. He was like, she just has such a calm energy and she is love. And I remember I told you, that was episode two. I remember I told Jamar, I said, that was interesting. And Jamar was like, what do you mean? And I was like, he literally just spoke so highly of her, almost like in the, you know, almost like in the admiration. And I was like, that was interesting to me. So I guess that kind of answers our question about, you know, where have Laverne and Ace gotten this vibe from? So we move on, and Joy tells the ladies about the date with Clifton, how he had the allergic reaction. And Tommy asks her, he's like, do you want to try again? She's like, I definitely want to redo it. Tommy says, okay, cool. Just know that I'm not feeding y'all. Y'all can't touch no food. Carmen says that she likes Clifton too, and I have to cackle because I feel like if she knew what Clifton was saying about her, like in his confessionals, and how like the blue color contacts threw him off, I don't think that she would feel this way about.
I mean, based on the fact that every time we've seen her in this third episode, she has not had on the contacts, that leads me to believe that she may know, you know what, these contacts was just a little too much, so let me dial it back. But legitimately, the one thing you did get from their like little golf date that they did, which was that group date in the second episode, the one thing that you did see is that her and Clifton, they both like had like an energy. They were constantly laughing with each other. They were vibing with each other. Now, whether or not that was like a him just being nice because she's new, or whether or not it was a genuine connection there, we're going to have to see how that plays out. Because I'll say this, and I hope my wife don't kill me for saying this, this season has a lot of stacked women.
Yes.
Like, they are, like,
they
stacked.
Thick.
Like, when I, like, Joy and Clifton fit. Like, when I look at them, they give an aesthetic of they should be together.
Yeah.
Because of just, like, the body types. They just look like a couple.
Okay.
Laverne honestly looks like he should be with Carmen. They actually fit, like just in their energies and how they carry on based on that blind date that they
had. Yeah, because they both are very extra.
I don't see Ace and Laverne, but again, as they've always said, yin and yang, opposites can work.
I'm glad you mentioned it. I'm glad you brought it up because I've been waiting to fucking talk about it. So, Sabrina says Demetrius and Tori are her top two, and I'm just like, whatever, girl. But Precious comes in. She's like, Paul is my number one. And the rest of the women are like, girl, what? And she's like, I want someone to add to me. I'm complete. And I just feel like Paul compliments me and blah, blah, blah. And I'm just like, ma'am. And she's talking about, and so I just want to put a pin in that opposites attract. Zakiya says that she had her eyes on Clifton and Demetrius in the beginning, but her blind date with Eric pushed him to number one status, and it has thrown a monkey wrench in her plans. I feel like Zakiya and Eric, I like them. Jamal's talking about aesthetics. I feel like they complement each other well. Zakiya isn't really dead set on having children, and Eric already got two grown daughters. So I could high-key see them going and like getting together in their middle age and like, you know, going on to the golden / silver years of their life and enjoying each other, traveling. But I digress. AP says that she has no connection with Wiley, and the other ladies agree, and they say they feel like dating him puts them in cougar territory. Zakiya and Carmen say that Laverne is in their bottom, and Zakiya says he's always on 10. She calls him messy. And then Carmen says he has a negativity about him and says that they had a very negative text exchange. I'm not quite sure. I didn't really pay attention to what the text messages said, but I'm not sure how that happened. But I feel like we'll get to know more about it as the episodes go on. Ace says that Paul does not give her that spark, and Joy and Sabrina both feel that Cornbread and Paul are not in their top. They feel like Paul is too on edge. And what was it? I think Sabrina mentioned that she needs someone to like zen her down. And she kind of feels like Paul is just a little bit too pushy. And I would even actually like call him aggressive. We all know on Ready to Love, these men put that aggressive label on women, particularly dark-skinned women. But in this case, I genuinely feel like Paul has an aggressive energy.
And he like.
Okay, anywho's.
But in the same, also, the one thing Sabrina said, because it was one of the questions she actually had asked Paul, and then she even said it during this meetup. She had said she worried that Paul could never be in the moment, that he's always looking to the future.
Yeah.
Whereas she wants someone, because she herself is always like, go, push, look into the future. So she needs someone that can be present in the moment and enjoy the moment. And she felt as though that's not what you get from Paul. But then the funniest part of it was where normally in years past, seasons past, when people are saying why they don't, like who's in their bottom, you know, it's just said who's in the bottom. Then they go to decide like who's going home. This time, you get Precious interjecting, and when she interjects, the first thing that comes to your mind is, okay, she's going to tell us who's in her bottom. No, Precious takes this moment to She takes this moment to defend Paul to everyone and why she has him as her top pick. And the moment she did that, like, the first thing that popped in my head is I was like, okay, there's actually a big age difference between her and Paul.
Mm-hmm.
Paul is the oldest person on the show because he's 48.
Yep.
And Precious is the youngest woman because she's 34. So there's a 14-year difference there between her and Paul. And she's constantly talking about how Paul would be, he gives her a focusing energy. Like he's going to push her to do better and be more. And it gives off, it kind of can give off like, you know, like a father figure. Like she's attracted to him because he's like an older man who he's already successful and he's trying to draw her to be successful. Because if I'm not mistaken, Precious is an entrepreneur, right?
She's an IT analyst.
Oh, okay. But she just, it gives off like a, like there may be father issues or potentially daddy issues.
So I can't lie. I said that, and I don't like to throw that term around a lot because daddy issues are far more complicated than what Twitter niggas make it seem to be. But also, have y'all ever met a man with mommy issues? Because I have, and that does not hold a Daddy issues don't hold a candle to the way these niggas be in the streets acting about their mommy issues, but that's the horse of a different color. I also feel like, y'all remember Naya from the Houston season where they was on the resort? Y'all remember Naya? Precious kind of gives me pick me priestess vibes like Naya did, but you know, I'm not gonna go there. But yeah, Jamar was right. Precious interjected and she said that, you know, Paul works for me and I need someone to focus me, and his rigidness in it, it just appeals to me. So long story short, Joy and Precious take Paul, well, Joy takes Cornbread out and Precious takes Paul out. Joy and Cornbread have their date and Cornbread says he's surprised he got invited because he didn't get good vibes from her. I guess he kind of could tell that she wasn't taking him seriously after he talked about the cat pimp, and I think he might have took that a little personal, but I digress. Precious takes Paul out and she says that she's sad because he's her top pick and the other lady's opinion of him make her sad and it's disheartening. Precious, you are acting like Camille did with Cornelius. Like, you did everything short of cry and self-eliminate yourself, but we'll know why in a second. Joy is making shit awkward and she's like, I want to handle him with care, but Cornbread can tell something is up. Whereas the last episode where the guys had to do the eliminations date, Tommy told them, he was like, you know, always be a gentleman. And I feel like they had to put that disclaimer in after the foolishness of that season, that second season in Houston, as well as last season in Washington, D.C. Because the way some of these people carried on these elimination dates, y'all know, if you watch the show, if you know, you know. So she's kind of taking the compliment sandwich approach with Cornbread. Like, did you notice that? She's like,
well, you're a really nice guy.
A lot of the ladies really like you. And, you know, they were just so refreshed. And I'm just like, okay, girl. And so now we start bouncing back in between scenes. Precious says that the ladies feel that Paul is guarded. And it's wild because that is literally not what they said. They said Paul is too in your face. He's too much. He's too, you know, blunt. He's too rigid. So her interpreting that as they feel that he was guarded, I was like, ha, funny. He calls himself a juggernaut.
A fucking juggernaut.
Y'all, Jamar was so pissed when he heard that.
A fucking juggernaut. And he had the nerve to, again, going back to his questions, he said, I only give people the truth. If you can't answer my questions, then you can't handle the truth, then you need to look at yourself in the mirror. And the main thing I said in this moment, exactly in this moment, is you're here and she's told you what a lot of the women are saying. What automatically makes you think that if someone can't handle the truth, and it's like multiple women who've now said this, why are you saying they need to look at themselves in the mirror and not you potentially say, you know what, maybe I do need to reflect on myself. Maybe I'm not as much a fucking juggernaut as I say.
We're going to get there. So, So Paul basically is not taking any accountability for what Precious is telling him, and it seems like Precious is kind of getting overwhelmed. But once again, she's also kind of just like, she seems so enamored and dazzled by Paul, and I do not know why. And she says the women have been misled. Girl, he says that he doesn't believe that what the other women are saying, but if it's a consensus, he's willing to do some introspection. And basically, because of that conversation, he's still in the game. He's still ready to love. I think that's a mistake, but whatever. Joy tells Cornbread that the other women see him as a friend, not a lover. And Cornbread feels like he got he says he can't believe he got friend zoned. I don't really think it was friend zoned. I think it was the fact that Cornbread is supposed to be on a show about relationships, love, long-term commitment. And it seems like every time the women get to that point where they're talking about the future, he is like, ugh, marriage, commitment, gross. And it's like, sir, do you know what show you showed up, you signed up for?
I don't think you know, folks.
Like, baby, sweetheart, Cornbread, Jiffy, Krusty's, did you realize that this is, the show is called Ready to Love? It's called Ready to Love, okay? That's what it's called. You're on the show because you're supposed to be finding love. But instead, you telling anybody who'll listen that, you know, ooh, I don't value the institution of marriage. Sir, it's not happening. But yeah, Cornbread is sent home. And that is where we end our episode. Thank y'all so much for joining us. I hope that we did not, our foolishness did not deter y'all from coming back next week. Jamar and I want to send our love, prayers, and condolences to Kiki and her family. Kiki, we love you infinitely, and we are here if you need us. You know, Jamar has been itching to become the third co-host of On the Rocks for a long time, so I'm pretty sure if you want him to fill in again, he will. Y'all can find me on Twitter and Instagram at AuntieAsh_. You can find Jamar on Twitter at Twisted Genius.
Yep, Twisted Genius.
Twisted Genius 87, or is it just Twisted Genius?
I don't know. You know what? Shockingly, I don't really remember what my Twitter thing is.
I know on Instagram he's Twisted Lifestyle, which we need to talk about why you're still twisted at like 34.
Yeah, it's Twisted Genius 87.
Why are you still twisted at 34? I think it's
I'm not really twisted, but I mean, that was just the at that I created, I didn't know if I need to change the
at,
because
time
I'm
to
worried
change
that
it.
If I change the at, then people may not be able to find me anymore.
No, they'll still find you.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure. I just kind of stay away.
Anywho, thank y'all so much for joining us. We appreciate you. As always, we love our I love our listeners. Thank y'all. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you again soon. Bye.